Well, again, it is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and it's been a great day already, and I believe we can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord, and we can go out rejoicing and thanking God for what He has done. Our Sunday school lesson this morning was mainly out of 2 Chronicles chapter 28, and as we looked over that this previous week, I had some thoughts come to me about how our actions and how our decisions affect those that come after us. And I wrote some things down in my Bible. When one generation compromises on something, the trend normally is that the next generation then becomes complacent. So you've got compromise. Then you've got complacency. And then after complacency usually comes contempt. And that's what happened with the kings of Judah. I wrote down that in the times of Jehoiada, after Joash, there was a compromise. And he listened to the princes instead of going to God. And he made a compromise. And then Amaziah became complacent about the things of God, and complacent about the worship of God. And it, you know. And then we say in chapter 26, and I want to talk about that this morning a little bit, Uzziah then became contemptuous. He had contempt for the things of God. And then in chapter 27, Jotham became cold to the things of God. He wouldn't even enter into the temple. And then we looked at Ahaz this morning. Brother Tom helped us this morning bring out, he brought out several things about Ahaz, and Ahaz even became closed. He closed the doors of the temple, stole all of the items out of the temple, out of the house of God, and gave them to the king of Assyria, and closed the doors. So in three generations, the doors of the house of God were closed, because one king compromised on an issue. And that's how quickly it can go. And so today I want to look in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And I want to look at the life of, or the kingdom of Uzziah for just a little bit here. If you would stand with me in honor and reverence of God's word, I'm going to read in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And I don't at all intend to preach over the lesson this morning, but I just some thoughts came out to me, and I want to pull a few things out of here. Because I believe Uzziah was in a place and a time where he was pivotal. His decisions were very pivotal to the future of the nation. And instead of standing up and instead of making a change, he just kind of went along with what had been previously done. And so I want to look at this morning in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And I believe this is a picture for us and some good principles for us as the children of God in our day that we can pull away from these thoughts and from these scriptures. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I'm going to read verse 1 through verse 5. Then I'm going to pray, and then you can be seated. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 1. The Bible says this: Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. And he built Eloth and restored it to Judah, after that the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. I'm going to stop reading there. Let's pray and then be seated. Father, thank you, God, for this time. And I do thank you, God, for your word. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to take away today some of these principles and some of these thoughts that will help us, Lord. I believe we are here in America and in this age of grace, this church age, God, I believe that we are in a very pivotal role, and much will be determined by what we do, not only as Americans, but as Christians. And I pray, God, that you would help us to stand, to do right, to stand for truth and holiness and godliness and righteousness in this generation. God, may we be the light in a dark time. May we be the light in a dark generation. And God, use us for your glory and use us for the good of your people. And please bless your word and the thoughts today. And God, again, I surrender and submit myself to you. I ask, God, that you would do with me what needs to be done, that it might be a blessing to your people. And we will praise you and give you the thanks, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We can also read about Uzziah back in over in 2 Kings chapter 14. And he is called by another name over there, Azariah. It's the same man. It's the same king. And he was 16 years old when he was made king by the people of Judah in the place of his father Amaziah. And I think it's interesting that we would see that in verse 4, the Bible says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. Now, it doesn't say according to, as many times we see, according to their father David. So David is sort of the goal. David is sort of kind of the standard by which God seemed to measure these kings. And so when we see that he did that which was right according to David his father, it didn't mean that David was his dad. It just means that that was the standard by which kings were measured up to David. And we know that there are other good kings. We thank God for Hezekiah that came along and stood and did right later on. And so there were good kings, but the time that was lost and the lives that were lost and everything, the hardships and heartaches that took place because one man made bad decisions, made bad choices. And I believe, as I said before, I think Uzziah here has an important role and he has an opportunity to change the course of history for Judah. He has an opportunity to do that because things are beginning to slide because there has been compromise and there has been complacency. And he has an opportunity to stand up and do right. And his description could be that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and it could have ended there. But it said according to all that his father Amaziah did. So now he's being measured to someone that went before him. So I want to see several things about Uzziah here, and I believe that we can pull from these things principles in our life as well, even in our day and age. So first of all, I want to see in verses 1 through 3, Uzziah's privilege. His privilege. He was made king by the people. This was a great honor. This was great power that came with this. But also with great power comes great responsibility. And, you know, I don't know, as a 16-year-old boy, we would say, if he was really prepared. Now, we spoke about that, and there were some comments and talk this morning during the Sunday school hour about that there were probably advisors that were around, and sometimes We read through the kings and chronicles and the lives of those kings. And sometimes those advisors were very good. And sometimes they gave good counsel. But many times they did not. And we see what happened in some of their lives, that those young kings would bring young advisors around them. And it's never wise, I'll just say it's usually not very wise to get counsel from your friends. Now, there are exceptions to that. That's not a hard and fast rule. But if Uzziah got his buddies to come and be his advisors, then that's not very wise. Because if you're 16 and you've got a bunch of other 15, 16, 17-year-olds telling you what you ought to do, probably not very good decisions are going to be made. All of us have been that age before, and I'll tell you by personal experience, at 15, 16, 17 years old, a lot of good decisions not being made, a lot of bad decisions being made. And so here he is, he's 16 years old, he is now king over all of Judah. He's in a very important role, and he has a lot of responsibility on him. I'm thankful that the Bible says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but he had a great privilege here. He was the king, he was a son of the king. So with great privilege, again, there comes responsibility. So he had a great responsibility here. We see his privilege. He was made king at a very young age. He had a great opportunity to do some great things. He served for 52 years. That's a long time to be king. So he had a long life ahead of him and a great opportunity to do great things for God's people and turn the tide of the way things were looking from his predecessors. He had a great opportunity to do so. That's why I believe that Uzziah here was kind of the pivotal king at this time of the kings of Judah. So we see his privilege, and then we see his practice. It says that he did, in verse 4, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. I want us to go back to chapter 25 and verse 2, and we'll see this about Amaziah. So his father Amaziah, chapter 25, verse number 1 says, Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehada of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. So he did that which was right according to his father Amaziah, but his father Amaziah didn't serve God with a perfect heart. And God had told them, and we'll look at these scriptures later, that God had told them, the kings, that they needed to serve God with a perfect heart. So we see his practice. Then we see his pursuit in verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So we see his pursuit. He sought God in the days of Zechariah. Now, when we get down throughout the story here, we're going to see that that didn't last. But he started out pursuing God. And that's why, again, I think that he had a very pivotal role here. So we see his pursuit. Then in verses 6 through 13, we see his prosperity. And this is when things begin to take a turn. And we see that in America. We see that in so many places. We see that in churches. That when things begin to go well, and things begin to go smoothly, there seems to be a letback, a letdown. We kind of take our foot off the gas, and we kind of just begin to relax a little bit, and we let down our guard on things. And America, as an example, has been so prosperous for so many years, and because of that, we've gotten lazy, and we've gotten away from being that nation that stands for truth and stands for right and all of those things, and now we find ourselves in a mess. And so we see his prosperity. The Bible says in verse 6, and he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. God, in verse 7, and God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelled in Gurbal and the Mehunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Then we read, as we continue on, he built towers in verse number 9. He built towers again in the desert in verse number 10. He had much cattle. Verse 11, moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account, by the hand of Jael the scribe and Maaseiah the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. That's the chief men. 2,600 chief men over the mighty men of valor. The whole number of those men. And then we see in verse 13, and under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,000 and 500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. My, what an army that God had amassed under Uzziah. These mighty men of valor, 307,500 men. Under the other 2,600 men. A great army. He had great accomplishments. He had great power. He had great ability. He was prosperous in all of these things. Not only in his own private life, he was prosperous, but also his army and those that served under him. He was a very prosperous and powerful man. Then I want us to see in verse 14 that he was a man of preparation. Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. Verse 15, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped. But that verse doesn't end right there, does it? The Bible says, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. And I believe this is where the tide turned for Uzziah. You know very well over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 where Paul was given a thorn in his flesh. And he went to God thrice, he said, and besought the Lord to take it, to remove it. And God told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. We see here that Uzziah became strong. And God marvelously helped him till he was strong. God promoted him. God blessed him. God used him to conquer those nations, to conquer those cities, to be a blessing to his people. Until he was strong. And verse 16 starts with that little word, but. Now, in the Bible, a lot of times we love to see the word but. A lot of times it goes before God, but God. We love to see that. When things are going a direction that we don't want it to go, when things were happening that weren't good, but God. Sometimes God steps in, but God. But here in this context, we see he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. We see now his pride. His pride. Amen. And the Bible not only says that his heart was lifted up, it says that his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Now this morning we saw in the life of Ahaz, King Ahaz, the Bible says that he did things that became his ruin. God uses the word ruin. That was the end of him. When he did what he did about the things of God and the temple of God, it was his ruin. And we see here in Uzziah, when his pride was lifted up, He became strong, and that made him proud. His heart was lifted up to his destruction. And we saw in the life of Ahaz, his ruin became the ruin of his people. And God judged because of those things. His heart was lifted up for his up to his destruction. In verse 16, we continue, "For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense." We see his presumption. We see his pride, and now we see his presumption. "Because I'm king, and because I'm strong, I can do what I want to do." And he entered in into the priest's office. Well, that happened before too. Or it happened again. We saw that with Saul. And Saul intruded into the priest's office, and Samuel came to him and said, "The kingdom is now stripped from you. You can't do that. That's not your place. That's the place of Aaron and his sons. That's not your place to do that. The kingdom has been taken from you, Saul." That's what the prophet Samuel told Saul. So we see this king, this man, who God has blessed and God has used, but in his strength he became proud. And then he presumed that he could step into the office of the priest. And he went into the temple of the Lord fully intending to burn incense upon the altar. That's not his job. That's not his place. God did not call him to do that. Amen. And when we become proud, and if we become proud, it causes us to think that we are more than we really are. Amen. And that we're more important than we really are. And that pride will cause us to do things that we would have never done before or never thought we should do before. So in his pride, he actually went into the temple intending to burn incense. He actually, we see that he had a censer in his hand later on. But I like verse 17. "And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men." So here you've got Azariah the priest and 80 other men go in after the king. I thank God for those around that when people are making bad decisions, sometimes there's good men, there's good people around to change things. And I wrote down in here in my Bible, they did something. They didn't just stand and watch. They did something. And I think we're in that place in America and even in Christianity. We are in that place. I think we're in a place where maybe more than ever in our country, people need to do something. We need to do something. And these men did something. I mean, this was the king. Amen. He had the power. And he was very wealthy. And he had this great army. But when they saw him, when Azariah saw him intruding into that office that was not his to perform, he went in after him and those faithful men followed after him. And they withstood the king. Now there could have been, there's consequences for that. Normally there's consequences for standing up and getting in the face of the king. There's usually consequences for that. But they had a greater, they had a greater king. They were serving the Lord God. And they knew what was right. And sometimes it's taking a stand sometimes is dangerous. Sometimes taking a stand comes with cost. It comes with consequences. But we serve the living God. We serve the true God. And there is righteousness and truth and holiness to stand for. And so Azariah goes in. These other 80 men go in after him. And verse 18 says, "And they withstood Uzziah the king." Amen. Those are That's a dangerous place to be in. They put themselves in a dangerous position. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, "It appertaineth not to thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God." What you're intending to do here is not for you to do. You need to leave. Because it's not going to turn out good for you or anybody else. They stopped him from doing what he was planning to do. Verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth. Again, Uzziah is in a place of decision. He was faced with the fact that what he was doing was wrong. And he had a choice to make. Now he intended. Now he did step into the temple. And he intended to do something wrong. But thank God he sent someone to stop him. I am thankful. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 talks about when we are tempted, God will also with the temptation make a way of escape. Now I can say by experience there have been times that God intervened in a moment when I had an opportunity to give in to certain temptations, whatever it might have been. Maybe the phone rang. Or maybe there's a knock at the door. Or maybe a baby cried. Just to break that. To stop that thought. Or to stop that decision. I'm thankful that God does that. And God did that here for Uzziah. He gave him one last chance. What you're about to do is wrong. What you're about to do is going to bring terrible consequences for you and your people. You need to stop. And Uzziah could have said, "You know what? You're right. You're right. This is wrong." And he could have repented. And he could have laid down the censer. And he could have walked out in humility. And gone back and been a great king. And turned things around. But instead, we see in verse number 19, then Uzziah was wroth. He was completely enraged. "How dare these men stand up to me? I'm the king. I've got this great army. How dare they stand up to me?" He was raw. And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. So we see his punishment. He rose that censer up. He was going to go ahead and do what he had planned to do. That sinful act. That wrong thing. He was going to do it anyway. And as he did, that leprosy arose. Immediately, it just began to grow. Before, in the midst, in the presence of these priests, standing right there beside the altar of incense. Verse 20 says, "And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence." That couldn't be in the presence of God. That could not be there in the house of worship. It couldn't be there in the holy place. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, he himself hasted also to go out. "I've got to get out of here because the Lord had smitten him." That could have been avoided. It could have been avoided. And I think how many times I've made decisions that cost me, cost my family, cost the churches I have pastored. Not in great, you know, great distress or great harm, but decisions that I made that kept God from blessing or doing what He intended to do. I think I talked, was that last week, about limiting God. How Israel limited God. The Lord smote him with leprosy because he made a decision. God did not do it until he became wroth and settled in his mind and his heart to go through with that sinful thing he intended to do. And as soon as he did, God smote him. Verse 21, the Bible says, "And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death and dwelt in a several house." He couldn't even live in the... He couldn't live in his own house. He couldn't live in the king's mansion. He couldn't. He had to live with other lepers. He was the king. He had to live in a several house. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah write, Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write? So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belongeth to the kings. He wasn't buried with David. He had to be buried separately. For they said, "He is a leper." And Jotham his son reigned in his stead. Instead of changing the course of things, and I believe he could have. He had the opportunity to. God blessed him. God made a great nation. God made a great army under Uzziah. He had a great opportunity to change the course of history for his people. But he let his pride get in the way. And he let his pride be his guide. Oh, he was blessed. He was prosperous. He was powerful. But in this instance, there in the temple, I see these few things. He rebelled against the Word of God because God had said that there were only certain ones that could go in there and offer incense. He rebelled against the Word of God. He resisted. He resisted the moving of God and the working of God. He resisted. God had sent men to guide him. He resisted the mercy of God. He resisted the working of God that day. He refused the servant of God who came to stand up in front of him. He refused to listen. And he rebelled against a very clear message from God. Then we saw his punishment. And even beyond his own personal demise, his own personal judgment, we see that nation continuing to slide away from God. And we see Jotham, who took over, he never entered into the temple of the Lord. We saw that in chapter 27 and verse number 2. Uzziah had an opportunity. And I believe we as God's people have an opportunity too. And I'm not really political, although I do believe that we have a responsibility as God's people to do right and stand for right. We've got a great responsibility coming soon to turn the tide. There was an election here last week. The things were voted on and people were elected. There are things going on in our country that are just unbelievable. The things that are going on. But we have an opportunity and we've got a responsibility to stand for God. And I believe we are on a precipice. We are on the precipice. We are in a place where this generation, this day, those of us living in this day, have an opportunity to change the course of history. Now, I do believe that God has a plan. And I do believe that God is going to fulfill that plan and do what He intends to do. I fully believe that. Amen. But we also are commanded to do right and to stand for truth and stand for righteousness and stand for God. And I believe this is a great illustration for us. This young man had an opportunity. And he was doing okay, but his pride got in the way. I wonder what it is for me or for you that would get in the way and cause us to neglect that opportunity that we have to make a difference. And we can do that in the smallest ways with individuals. Make a difference. In the book of Jude, the Bible says, and of compassion, save some, and of compassion, making a difference. We can make a difference. And of some having compassion, making a difference. We can make a difference. We can stand. We can stand for truth, stand for righteousness. And not let that pride or whatever it is that comes up before us change our direction or cause us to stray. We've got a great opportunity and a great responsibility. Uzziah sadly failed. We don't have to. We've got a great God who is still powerful. He's still on the throne. He's still alive. But He still expects us to do right. He still expects us and demands us to stand for truth and stand for righteousness. I encourage us today, every day, stand for truth. Every day, let God guide us. Let those decisions that we make be made on the premises of God's Word. And on truth and on holiness and on righteousness. And it will make a difference. Amen. It's at least going to make a difference in our own personal life and our own personal walk with God. Then that in turn will make a difference to others and to others and to others. Let me encourage you today to be a light in this dark world. And God will use it. And God will bless it. For His glory. Amen. Father, I thank You, God, for this time. I thank You, God, for Your Word. I thank You for the examples that You've given us throughout history. God, that we may learn from and that we might glean from and that we might, Lord, put in practice in our lives, God, as the children of God, to stand for You, to stand for truth, to stand for righteousness. God, help us to always be vigilant. Help us to always be thoughtful of the things of God. Now God, as we intend and prepare to close out the service, God, I just ask, God, that You speak to our hearts. Show us where we might be lacking, where we might be needing something from You. And then, Lord, help us to respond in faith and get the help that we need. And Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to love each other, love one another, pray for one another, support one another. Encourage each other as we see the days approaching, God. More and more. Lord, I thank You again, Lord, for Northwood Baptist Church and for the blessing that these folks are to us. God, I pray, God, that You would just unite us, strengthen us in the days ahead. We give You the glory. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.